This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday for Worship with Us. What is your image of God? And what moves you to think of God in this way? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we pray that through your word we may have a proper understanding of who you are. May we realize, O God, that you love us. But that is not a love that is just a kind of slipshod, but rather it is a love that is based on action. You are also a righteous God, and therefore it is necessary for us to have a Savior. With those two great truths from Scripture before us, we pray today, God, give us the grace to understand how much you love us, but also that we are concerned about your righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear.
Friends in Christ, what is your image of God? I am fully aware that there are many people who do not give that question very much thought. But I'm also aware that there are some images of God that are very impersonal. They are downright weird. For example, people talk about the man upstairs. What does that mean? Do these people believe that there is a God, but they just are too bashful or hesitant to call him God, and so they put a funny name on him called the man upstairs? Others of them talk about this supreme architect or this supreme power, whatever it may be. Some of that comes out of the political language of our day. I believe in a higher power, but we cannot become too specific. Well, That's about as objective as it can be, a higher power. What does that mean? Because of these weird expressions regarding the image of God, I'd like to visit with you today about the Christian's image of God. Now, if I ask people who talk about the man upstairs, where did you get that information from? They probably say, well, it's something I picked up on the street or heard it from somebody else somewhere. But if you ask a Christian, where do you get your information that shapes for you the image of God? And the Christian answers back, in the Bible. The Bible is God's inspired word. The Bible is not a collection of thoughts that come from brilliant minds, but the Bible is God's word brought to men who put it into print, and eventually it gets into the Holy Scriptures. Peter put it this way, prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So today I'd like to visit with you about the man Jeremiah, who gives to us a great picture of God. I'm referring primarily to Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Now, together with the prophecy of Jeremiah, Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. In this third chapter, he gives you a picture of God's nature. And it can be summarized by saying, God is a God of righteousness, and God is a loving God. If you take only one part of these two pictures, you do not have a biblical view of God. For example, if we preach Sunday after Sunday on the righteousness of God, trying to frighten people into the kingdom of heaven or letting them know that one day it would be very, very rough for them if they did not repent and believe in him, that would be a distorted picture of God. The other picture is the loving God, the Heavenly Father who's concerned about us, who loves his children. But if all I do is talk about the love of God and meditate on such a beautiful portion of Scripture as Psalm 23 or John 3:16, and nothing else but that, it still gives you a distorted view of God. For God is both righteous and he is both loving. We're talking first then about the righteousness of God as Jeremiah brings it to us in the third chapter of Lamentation. But first, let me give you just a little bit of information on Jeremiah. God called Jeremiah to be his prophet. He was to be God's spokesman to the people of Judah, who were a rebellious crowd. But Jeremiah did not want that job. And so he tried to make all kinds of excuses. He said he was not a person who was a good speaker. He was a kind of a tired person who was afraid of timid person. He referred to himself sometimes as one who was an introvert, always self-analyzing himself and living with somewhat of an inferiority complex. So he said to God, God, you know, that's not the kind of a person you need when you deal with Judah. They are a very rebellious people out there. And there are some of these people who are very able to express how they feel. And I'm not a part of them at all. But neither can I be the voice that really speaks heavily for you. So find somebody else. And then it is that God comes back, and you read about that in the first chapter of the prophet Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, when you were yet in your mother's womb, I decided that I wanted you. I want you to be my prophet. I want you to be the voice of God to Judah. Now, it will not be easy, Jeremiah, but do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of them, for I will be with you. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me. And they will fight against you, but they will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, says the Lord. And so with that from God, Jeremiah becomes a faithful person to proclaim the word of the Lord. And he did it with great courage. He never gave in. He was not loved by most of the people because of his message. They felt like he was turning the people against the government, against the kings, and he was not patriotic. But Jeremiah went right on preaching, and as a result of that, he suffered himself. He was put into a dungeon. He had all kinds of difficulties with the people. He loved those people. He wanted them to turn back to God, but they absolutely would not do it. Sometimes then he says in this third chapter of Lamentation, and let me just give you a little bit of what he says there in the first part, dealing with the God of righteousness. I am the Lord who has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath. In other words, he had seen his people starve as God tried to awaken them, that they had to turn away from their idols and turn to him. And that was tough for Jeremiah to see. He said, he has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. There didn't seem to be any hope round about me. This is the kind of a message that I was to bring to the people of God. And then when they turned against me, he said, you know, I prayed, but God does not seem to answer my prayers. He says he has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness. Yes, at times, Jeremiah said, I did get bitter because I recall those passages that God said he would be faithful to me. Now, if I'm in a dungeon, is he still faithful to me? Later, Jeremiah finds out that he is. But at that particular time, suffering from that emotional reaction of, where is God? I pray to him and he does not answer me. At least Jeremiah didn't think he was. He's, where is this God who has promised all these things, but they're not here? Why am I suffering as I am suffering? That was a very, very difficult picture of God. He would punish the wicked, but what about me? Have I been wicked? Not according to what Jeremiah could see. He had tried to be faithful to God. He is picturing the righteousness of God. Can a people continually turn away from God and be blessed by God? When you take a look at the history of the world, and I am certainly not a world historian, but I read and study that great civilizations have gone astray, and they have collapsed. All of them have collapsed. They have not lasted very many years, and then they were no more. I sometimes have to wonder when I read about the God-fearing people at the beginning of our nation, and what is going on now? How long will God permit this to go on? How long can his word be closed, more or less, at least to the specifics? How long will it be that you're not really supposed to say that Jesus Christ is the way and no one comes to the Father but by me? How long will we be permitted to do that? Well, I don't know. I sometimes become very concerned, as do millions of others, about the future of the United States if it continually turns its back on God as a corporate group. Not that there are not tremendous awakenings that are going on in America. Not that there are not some strong, dynamic Christians. But I'm talking about it as a nation. And a nation that will not permit this and will not permit that when it points us to God. How many graduations are going on or have just gone on in our country? And years ago, where there could have been a baccalaureate and a great invocation before and a benediction at the end of the ceremony, all of those things are put up for grabs now because we have to remember a distorted interpretation of the interpretation of church and state. How long will a radio pastor be able to say some of the things that I have just said? And here then, when you begin to put that picture into the light of Judah, you wonder, will the righteousness of God be bestowed upon our country? Well, Jeremiah saw that God was faithful. And so in the last part of this third chapter of Lamentations, we read these words. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. What a way to start a day, that if I have lived unrighteously, that God says, if you will come in repentance and faith, I will grant you the forgiveness of your sin. Jeremiah is saying, God's grace is there. His mercy is new. It is inexhaustible. That was Jeremiah's message to the people of Judah. And that's the Christian message that we have to proclaim today. It is a message that when you take a look at the image of God, yes, he is a very, very concerned God. He is a righteous God, but he is a loving God. And he is anxious to forgive us. It's a message of grace where he says again and again, I forgive you. Let's start over. And the peak of it all that reveals to us the image of God is the cross of Jesus Christ at Calvary. There he suffers and he dies for the sins of the world. It's a love of action. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but he must repent. He must turn to him. He must ask for forgiveness. The greatest revelation of God's love is recorded in the scriptures and is depicted at Calvary, where our Savior dies for us. It is a love where St. John grabs it and puts it together and says, he loves us so much, if we will confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God's punishment, you see, that is a part of his righteousness, is not as a sword to cut us off from any relationship with him, but as a rod to correct us that we may be brought closer to him. He disciplines. Now, I am anxious that no one gets the idea that if you're suffering from some affliction this day, that you're saying, well, this is because God is righteous and I am afflicted. There's a possibility that there may be some of these cases. But when we talk about the person, and that's what I think of today, some of you who may be bedridden, is God punishing me? No. God is sustaining you. Is it the righteous God that I want to bring to you? Not at this particular time. What I want to bring to you now on your bed of pain or torment or whatever it might be is a God of love. That we live in a broken and a fallen world, and terrible things can happen to us. I think today of a 35-year-old mother of a little boy been a beautiful person, a dynamic Christian, a faithful witness. She's dying. That's not punishment for her particular sin. Is she a sinner? Sure. She's the first one to say, but I'm saved by the grace of God. And so, my friend, what is it then? Sometimes when we have those terrible experiences to go through, God uses that time to draw us even closer to Him, to say, can't you see my promise is true? Here I am. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to walk right with you. And He will bring you into the kingdom of heaven, that there you may be with Him forever. I tell you, people, it is very, very important that we understand when to apply the righteousness of God and when to apply the love of God. The parent disciplines the child because he or she loves the child. But the parent also says, I forgive you. I forgive you. There's a right time to do one thing. There's another time to do another thing. There's a time to talk about righteousness. There's a time to talk about love. That grabbed the heart of one by the name of Thomas Chisholm. In 1923, this man wrote that great hymn. And we're going to close our worship service here at Christian Crusaders today by listening to the St. Olaf College Choir sing it. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The image of God, not the man upstairs, not a higher power, the God who loves us so much that He has said, I walk with you. I am the God of righteousness, and it must be emphasized, but I am also the God of love. Come to me. Give me your life, and let your life be made rich in me. That's the image of God according to the Scriptures. Would you want to take it from any other place but just from the Scriptures? That's His word for us today. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, in a world that confronts us with the temptation to be unfaithful to you, we ask that you will give us strength. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will prevent us from compromising our faith to be a part of a cultural Christianity that makes all things so convenient and so nice. We pray that you will forgive us for compromising all too often our witness of the way that we live, as though we had never heard of your word. Forgive us, Lord Jesus, and grant that we may be so empowered with your Spirit that we may be faithful even to the end. Come, Lord Jesus, is our prayer. In your name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought your heart spiritual comfort with the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.